Welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. I've got a very special guest from Sullivan County today, Aaron Phelan, who is the acting executive director of the Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum. Where is that? Livingston Manor?
We are in Livingston Manor.
Livingston Manor. So we'd like to welcome you aboard. And it's coming up to April, so we figured this is the right place to be up with you.
Definitely.
So first of all, fill us in. What is the Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum?
Okay. The center and museum is dedicated to preserving the history of fly fishing. The Catskills is the birthplace of American dry fly fishing, and it pretty much began with a gentleman named Theodore Gordon, and he lived in the area of what's now under probably the Neversink Reservoir. So, unfortunately, we lose some history there. But Elsie Darby was a fly tyer in the area, and she just kind of realized that this is really where everything was happening, and it needed a place, the history needed a place to be housed, and that's how the center got started.
So they tied their own flies, so it had to look like what was out in the, that the fish were going to eat, right?
Exactly. If you kind of think of the flies that we use as almost like puppets.
Yeah.
They imitate the bugs that are the aquatic insects that are on the water that the fish eat.
Yeah. And people come from all over the world
all over the world. Yep.
We
have people come from Japan, Australia, South Africa, Europe, everywhere to come and fish the Catskills.
Wow. What are the most famous of the rivers where everybody goes?
Pretty much the Beaverkill, the Willowemoc, the Esopus on the other side.
Uh-huh.
There's the Neversink. And then the east and west branch of the Delaware.
Wow. So you're right in the middle of it all?
We're in the middle of everything,
And you've got a beautiful museum there, which I heard you expanded a couple of years ago, right?
We did. We built a wolf gallery and our heritage craft center and rod-making workshop.
Wow.
So we have exhibits dedicated to Lee and Joan Wolf upstairs, and along with an art gallery. And then downstairs we have a fully functional bamboo rod-making workshop and tying area. That's where we do a lot of our classes.
Now, who are the Wolves? Maybe we should go and tell.
Sure. Yeah. Lee and Joan Wolf are just kind of the rock stars of fly fishing. Unfortunately, Lee passed quite a few years ago, but he coined the phrase that a game fish is too valuable to catch only once.
Oh.
So he's considered the father of catch and release fishing. That if you put that fish back, if you eat it, it's done.
Yeah.
But if you put it back, you can catch it again. It can create more fish, and you have the ability to create a better fishery.
And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Uh-huh. So. Exactly.
Oh, that's clever. So along the where you are, it's a lot of catch and release. Then
there are certain areas that are catch and release, and there are certain areas that you can take fish.
Mm-hmm.
But these rivers do get a lot of pressure because of the people that come from everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So they do have designated sections that you have to put the fish back.
Okay, and you get a license before you come.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep, if you're 16 or over, you have to get a New York State fishing license.
Okay, all right. So I guess they plan their trips and book their hotels and stuff, and then they come over to you, they take courses and things like that. Now, you've got a lot of memorabilia from fly fishing also?
Oh, my goodness. We have a full museum. The workshop downstairs is loaded with historical equipment. There is, for the fly tying area, there's a whole exhibit. It was a gentleman named Fritz Gerd, and he would collect different flies from fly tiers all over the world, and he would create shadow boxes for them, so we have an entire wall that's just flies.
Wow.
Yep, they're beautifully...
Do you do tours?
We do tours. You can do a self-guided tour, or you can pop in the office, and we'll gladly walk around with you and show you what things are.
Wow! And at the tying tables, people can sit down and actually try to tie it.
We have guest fly tiers on every Saturday from April through October, and with them you can sit down. They'll be glad to set up an extra vise and give you a lesson or kind of walk you through the process.
All right, so you can really learn something every time you come.
Oh yeah,
really hands-on kind of things too.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Do women fish like this, or is this
women
a men's
do.
Thing?
Yes, women definitely do. Way back when, women actually fished more than men because it was where you got your dinner.
Oh, okay.
So then, you know, as with industrialization and everything that happens, now it's a recreation. But there are a lot of women that fish.
Wow. So that's something that you probably, I don't know if you have like a Hall of Fame or anything where you'd you can go and see who were the famous people that were in the
Yeah, we actually do have a Hall of Fame. It's people who have made a significant contribution to the world of fly fishing. So we've got like Elsie Darby, Mary Detty, obviously Joan Wolfe. There's a lot of women that are in that. And, you know, there's plaques along the outside of our museum that will tell you what that person did, whether they were an author, an environmentalist, a conservationist, you know, kind of what got them into the Hall of Fame.
I see. That's really interesting stuff. I tell you, it's my husband. I've got two brother-in-laws that are coming up in early June. One's coming all the way from West Virginia, and the other one's coming from the Carolinas, and they want to fish over there. So that's their trip, 10 hours or whatever the number of hours they drive. But that's the place. So so now we're hearing about, you know, the first week in June is like this famous hatch or something, which I know.
Bug week.
What is it?
We call it Bug Week.
Bug Week, is that it?
Yes, put that on your tourism.
Bug Week.
Come to the Catskills for Bug Week.
All right, is there a certain kind of bug, or what's the...
no, it's just the beginning of your kind of bigger hatches. Like, you're probably going to see some Hendricksons, some Cole Gordons. It's just when everything starts, the water temperature, the air temperature all kind of work together perfectly, and you really start to see the hatches come off.
Okay.
Because before that, fly fishing is all contingent on water and air temperature.
Okay.
So before that, you might have to do a lot of subsurface or nymph fishing.
Okay.
Because you haven't had those bugs hatch. And people want to see, you know, they want to see the flies on the water. They want to see that big take. They want to see, you know, that's part of the fun of it.
So that's the time when everything comes out. Is that a drake? What's a drake?
Green drake. Yeah. Okay, that's a huge, like when you're talking about these bugs, you know, you're talking about something, you know, that can be the size of the head of an eraser to, you know, the size of the pencil point.
Okay.
So the green drake is about 3 or 4 times that eraser size.
Oh, big.
So, yeah, that's a really big fly. The fish key in on that, and they just know when that's on the water. And, you know, it's just a great visual fly to fish with.
And that's in the same bug week, or that's...
No, that's usually a little bit later in the season.
Okay. Okay, very interesting. So there must be like books you get, and you have to look up like when the season is and what the bugs are.
There's a lot of different books on what they call matching the hatch, so that this way you kind of can see the actual insect and see what fly you would use to imitate that insect.
Oh, I see.
And you know, if it's one of the things that you can spend an enormous time learning the entomology of it, or you can stop into a fly shop and say, "Hey guys, what's on the water today?"
I see.
And they'll be able to tell you what's, you know, hatching and what you should be fishing.
Wow. I should tell my brothers-in-law to make sure they go to the museum first and talk to the fly shops.
Definitely.
The fly shops are where? In Roscoe?
They're in Roscoe. There's one in Livingston Manor, and then the rest are in Roscoe.
Okay. All right. So that's good. You're quite a resource to the community, I would think, with all this
Thank
stuff.
Thank you. Yes.
Now, what other... let's see. The new building is what? About 5,000 square feet, was it?
And you have... I think, yeah. At least.
Yeah. What else do you need to tell us about what you're doing up there? You probably have special events.
We do. Our season opener starts on April 2nd, and we're going to meet at the junction or at the DEC pull-off just upstream from the center. We're going to meet at 9 o'clock, rather, and it's our first ceremonial first cast. We just kind of get as many members together. This is our 35th year, so we're really celebrating our members and just have that, you know, a 1, 2, 3, and everybody, you know, cast the rod together. And then we come back here. Agnes Van Putt, who's 99.
Wow.
A wonderful woman of Sullivan County. And she makes soup and cookies, and we just have an open house day. We have Ed Van Putt is going to be doing a book signing in the museum. The Catskill Fly Tires Guild has their rendezvous, so that's a great day. day if you do want to see what fly tying is about, to just come out and see it. We're going to have two different presentations in our bamboo rod making workshop, and we have a kids craft where you can decorate a trout cookie.
Oh, wow. What's the date of that again?
That's April 2nd.
April 2nd. Okay. 9 o'clock, be up there. That's the way. You're off of Route 17?
On Old Route 17, yes.
Yep. Okay. And you get off at which exit would that be?
Exit 96.
Exit 96. That's not that far, right? People come up from the city or from Orange County?
Oh, I think we're like an hour and a half, 2 hours out of the city.
Yep. Very doable.
Yes.
So that's your opening. And then do you do other special events during the...
We do. We have about 180 program days a year that we do. So we have just about an event at least every month. In some months we have two. In May we have a bamboo rod making class that we have two instructors that come in and teach. We have our annual dinner, which is our big fundraiser, silent live auction. We are also going to have like an open house day like we are doing on season opener. We have a golf tournament that we do in August. Yeah, so we have our Summerfest, which is a big outdoor flea market.
Ooh, when is that one? Everybody
that one is market. August 6th and 7th.
6th and 7th, okay. Wow, so much to do. So the best place to learn about this then, do you have a website that we can...
We do have a website. It's CatskillFlyFishing.org, and then we have a Facebook page, and we post a lot of things on our Facebook.
For people that want to take courses, like say you want to do the rod, the May rod making, you sign up ahead of time?
You sign up ahead of time, yep. Most of our courses are, you have to pre-register for. Some have fees. Some are, you know, there's no fee. The rod making class, there happens to be a fee for that one.
Okay.
And then we are going to offer some other, we call them anglers education classes.
Okay.
So some will be about fly tying. Some might be about tankara fishing. So there'll be a whole different, and those will be all up on our website because we actually haven't finalized our calendar of classes yet.
All right. Yeah. So then people can go up really do everything. I mean, now what about you have exhibits about rods and reels and things like that? I mean, what's a bamboo rod? What, why a bamboo rod, and what you know?
So bamboo rods, like everything else, everything kind of goes in a progression, and everything that's old is new again. So years ago, bamboo is what, that was the resource that you had to create the rod.
Okay.
Then it moved into fiberglass, graphite, and you know, now there's other composite materials. So people who traditionally fished bamboo, it's kind of like that resurgence again where people are going back to the roots, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, bamboo, it just has a different feel to it than the graphite rod to me.
So is it good for a certain kind of person, or a woman versus a man, or anything
like
that?
No, I think with anything, there's a personal preference
that
people develop as their fishing develops, as, you know, what they want to do. So, yeah, I don't think there's one material that's better for one person.
Yeah, and then when they make the rod, it's a very custom, is it like building, you know, when they do bicycles where it's very custom to the...
It can be completely custom. Like the first rod that was made for me, I went from a Sage XP, which is a very, what they call a fast action rod, to a bamboo rod that's actually very, it's much a slower cast, it's a slower movement, and so that was a big switch. So the builder, his name is Mike Canazon, that made me my first rod, was able to look at the taper, which is how it goes down to the finer end, and modify that taper to make a faster action bamboo rod so that this way it wasn't such a stark transfer from one to the other.
So you love it then, I bet, huh?
I do love it.
Yeah,
yes.
See, that's the thing. That's so wonderful. I would think it's fun to just go down there and talk to other people that are, you know, that
it really is. You know, when we talk about the center, it's really just kind of a gathering place for all fly fishermen to just kind of come, bounce ideas off of one another. You know, I love it when we've got four or five guys out front just casting different rods, trying things, you know.
So you're right. Your property is right on the water there then.
We're right on the Willowemuck. We have a 53-acre campus.
Wow. 53 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes. So what else are you doing on the property? Is it forest? I mean, people being picnics? Or what?
You can have a picnic. We do have a pavilion. We have, Trout Unlimited just did a wonderful stream restoration and pond restoration project for us because the Willowemuck was trying to overtake the pond that we have. So this year we're actually going to have casting platforms. So if someone's handicapped or they need adaptive fishing, they can come here. We have a lot of veterans that come and use the property through different weekend retreats or week retreats.
Oh.
So, yeah, to have an ability for them to have, just a safe, easy place to cast is going to be really nice.
Oh, yeah. The retreats, people stay overnight or they?
We do. We have bunk houses that if you're coming in as a group, we work with a veterans group. They're back in the mainstream.
Uh-huh.
And they come down for about a week and stay. We have other Project Healing Waters groups that come.
So for that, you'd have to book it ahead of time. And
yes, definitely.
Uh-huh. Yep. Wow. Boy, you've got a lot of resources. Now, the pond, what are you using your pond for? Is there anything?
This is the first year that we've got it back again, so we will do some stock fish in there, and then again we use it for, because there's a difference between if you're casting on the lawn and learning how to cast versus casting on the water itself.
Uh-huh.
So we'll use it for instructional programs.
Okay. And what kind of fish would you stock in there?
Probably put some panfish and some trout in there.
Okay. Wow. I haven't been up there, so I can't visualize some of the things to ask you about. What do you do stuff for the kids? Do you do any special children's programs, maybe, or?
We do a few throughout the year at our different events. We usually have some component that the kids can participate in.
Okay. All right. That's really nice. Now, are there, maybe there's people listening that maybe decide, hey, I've never tried it. Maybe I'll give it a whirl. how do you start if you want to try the sport? What do you do?
The best thing to do is either hire a guide or an instructor. And most guides are instructors.
Mm-hmm.
And spend an afternoon or, a couple of hours with someone. There's, depending on where you are, you can contact your local Trout Unlimited chapter and get in touch with them. Usually they'll offer, they might have a casting clinic one day or something along those lines. Different fly shops will have maybe a day of instruction.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of different resources out there to be able to try it.
Now, when you're buying things like, your rods and all, is there a way you could try it before you buy it? Like you said,
most of your fly shops will let you go out and cast a rod because the rods are, you've got tip flex, mid flex, butt flex, it's going to depend on where you are in the way you've learned to cast, and there's a lot of different variables that go into it. So most places will let you try a rod, just cast it on the lawn, make sure it's something that you're really going to like or that you have the ability to cast, and then you can go from there as far as a purchase.
And you don't do things like renting them or anything? You buy?
We don't at the center. A lot of the fly shops, if you are hiring a guide from their facility, they'll have equipment for you to use.
Oh, really? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a nice way to start, too, because you're going to get the instruction. They'll help you pick the best equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the fly shops, is Orvis in your location?
Orvis is in Roscoe, yep, the Beaver Kill Angler.
Oh, okay, Orvis. And that's like a special shop everything there is Orvis, a special
pretty
brand?
Much everything there is the Orvis brand.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And that's in Roscoe, which is also known as Trout Town.
Trout Town, USA.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a great little diner right there when you get off the 17, which is always packed. It's amazing.
Yep.
So there's some great places to eat. Ramundi's, I think, in Roscoe and all.
Yep, there's the Roscoe Bistro. There's a lot of different places.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a nice trip. I would guess that the places to stay get booked pretty fast up there.
They do. In fact, for one of our events in September that we do, I was talking to a hotel owner, and she said she's completely booked.
Wow. What event is that? So I can let everybody
know. That's our rod makers gathering.
Uh-huh.
We have about 125, 150 bamboo rod makers from all over the world.
Wow.
That come to the center for a weekend of workshops and programs.
Wow. And they'll help people make them, or they show them how
you
to
don't
make
actually make them. They might do a portion or a segment of how to do, but it's more, there is some hands-on workshops, but it's more the overall
Boy, if it books that far ahead, I mean, that's September. That's amazing. What happens in the summer? I mean, does everything dry up? Are people still fishing?
It really depends on weather weather and water temperature. Uh-huh. If, like, you know, this year we don't have really any snowpack, so, you know, we're kind of hoping for a little bit more of a wet spring, so that will carry us through the, you know, July and August. Uh-huh. If we get rain through July and August and the water temperatures stay low, then the fishing stays perfect. You know, the fish do get affected by the temperature. Uh-huh. So if it's too warm, you really don't want to be fishing.
So when people are planning trips, if it's a summer, that's why you're getting all the activity probably in the spring.
Right. Yeah. Right. And like last year, we had great fishing all the way through. I don't think we ever hit really those warmer temperatures until the beginning of September.
Oh, really?
So yeah. So you kind of, you know, it's a little bit harder to plan that way.
Yeah.
But and if there's, even if the rivers are warm, there's so much water around here that even if you were planning on fishing, say the Willowemoc, and that's where you wanted to fish, you might have to go over to the Delaware. You might have to go over to the East Branch or the Esopus. But there's definitely places that you can find water.
Yeah. And the same kind of fish? Different fish?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So they're all stocked by the...
We have some native, and then we do some stocking.
Okay. All right. Is there a local hatchery around here that people can take a tour or something?
There is. There's the Beaverkill Trout Hatchery.
Okay. Beaverkill, and you probably have to call ahead on that for...
Yes, you do. I don't know if they do tours. I think it's more of an open house kind of thing there. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. See, so you can go up and fill up a lot of time there, I would think.
Oh, definitely. Things.
So anything else that's up there that maybe you want to tell us about that... there's parks. I mean, if somebody wants to go take a hike and take a break.
Definitely, yeah. There's covered bridges in the area. There's parks. There's lots of hiking. If you're interested in hiking, I would talk to Lisa Lyons at Morgan Outdoors.
Okay.
She is kind of the hiking guru in the area. Okay. And I think the one other place that if you're planning a visit that, you know, is around fly fishing that you should probably stop in to see is Deddy Trout Flies. That is the oldest running fly shop, family-owned fly shop in America.
And it's called Denny?
Deddy. D-E-T-T-E.
D-D... No,
D-E-T-T-E.
Okay, and what town is that in?
That's in Roscoe as well.
Okay, in Roscoe. Wow, that's old, huh? That's cool.
Yeah.
And Morgan Outdoors is also in Roscoe?
Nope, that's in Livingston Manor.
Livingston Manor, okay. Mm-hmm. And how far from Roscoe to Livingston?
You're about 7 minutes, ten minutes.
Oh, that's very close.
From one town to the other, yes.
Very close, very close. Oh, boy. This has been wonderful. We actually are running out of time. What I want you to do, if you can give the website again, maybe give your phone number if somebody wants to register for something. And
sure. The phone number here is 845-439-4810, and our website is CatskillFlyFishing.org.
Okay, and Aaron, I hope to meet you. I'm going to drag my husband up there. I know he's going to drag me because I know he wants to come up there. And,
you should come up on opening day on our season opener.
Yeah, we might see you up there. I'll bring my camera. We'll get some pictures.
Okay, great.
Too. And it's wonderful to have you on. Thank you very much for sharing all this wonderful information.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Marietta Allen. I hope you all have a wonderful trip. Check it out.